the smartest guys around. They're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times. Actually, they've all won the game before. But Rob.
Hey! We're the
coach! We know it all! It's the Reno-It-Alls. Tyson, BR, and Adam Klein teach Coach and Rob how to define a know-it-all. It's the Reno-It-Alls. Let's hear it for Rob and Adam!
Yes! Thank you, Scott. Thank you. I know Brett LaBelle makes it look so easy. All right.
Beautiful.
How's everybody doing?
Goodness.
Adam Klein is here.
Rob Cesarnino is here. Back in Reno.
Yes. Okay.
I love
Steven Fishback always gets a little nervous when Adam Klein is here with me.
Why?
Makes his contract negotiations so much more tense.
Steven, you've got nothing to worry about.
Yes. Adam, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here in Reno at Run It Up Reno.
Yeah.
This is the biggest crowd we've had at one of these, for sure.
Yeah, this is a great crowd here in Reno, Nevada, part of Jason Somerville. Nevada. Ooh, everybody's touchy tonight. Anybody here from out of town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody's very excited to be here as part of Jason Somerville's event. It gets bigger every 6 months, and so it's such a great event to be a part of. So thank you first to Jason for having us out here. We've got a great panel to talk through, and what an episode here tonight.
Oh my
to
God.
Break down. What a fun season, Adam.
I'm a little cold. Do you have a jacket that I could use?
Hey,
Can I grab this?
This is mine. No, it is pretty cold here tonight because it's a little chilly in the room, and I have my jacket. There was a woman here tonight tried to get my jacket from me, and I had to say, hey, this is my jacket. I'm wearing it.
She runs cold.
Yeah, runs cold. But we are running hot here tonight. We're going to take your questions here. So at different points during the show, we'll ask you guys to come up and ask your question and line up on the sides when we ask you to, and please don't knock down this camera where our wonderful people watching the live stream are watching us from.
Yes,
don't. Okay. All right. And of course, big week on the podcast as well. I'm going to be speaking with Napalm Natalie tomorrow morning.
Boy.
Yes. So we will get her take on everything. Hopefully she'll give me some compliments. Hopefully.
Yeah.
She'll say, she burns you, and then she, you know, builds you back up.
She'll forgive you. She's a forgiving person.
She's a forgiving person, and she is not a lot of drama.
No, of course not. So it should be the most lighthearted exit interview that you've had so far, and actually, that's not tough to do.
Yeah. So we've got that. T-Bird is going to be on the podcast, and then I've got Bradley Kleege coming into the studio this weekend once I'm back in Los Angeles. So a lot of stuff to get to. But Adam, I have to start with that tribal council and that vote. And we've had a lot of memorable exits so far
yes.
from this season. And we get another one tonight where Natalie ends up getting blindsided. First off, did you think it was going to be Natalie or Lyrsa?
I thought when I saw the second Lyrsa vote, I was sure it was going to be Natalie. I was sure it was going to be Lyrsa because I didn't think that the Goliaths would split their vote. It was only when Angelina got up to ask for the jacket that I started to think, oh, maybe something else is going on here.
Yeah, so this is what we have to figure out tonight. And tonight might be a night where it's easier to figure out than other nights that we have done this before in the past.
Why is that, Rob?
But we have a unique challenge ahead of us because we are trying to figure out what exactly went on. And we are here live in the hometown of one of the players from this season.
Are we?
Yes.
Who from this season is from Reno?
Well, I think it might be somebody who might be used to warm weather. Might be looking for a jacket.
So is that where mine went?
So maybe we are able to figure out the answer to this question at some point during the night. But the question that I think that we are left with here as a Survivor viewer is, A, was Angelina blindsided by this vote? Did Mike White tell her, okay, the vote is going to be definitely that we are going to vote out Lyrsa tonight? Or is it B, that did Angelina go along with that vote and then pretend to go to Natalie and say, hey, I voted with you. Can I have that jacket?
Yes.
And that is the question that we as Survivor viewers will have no idea, and we may have to wait months to find that out.
How could we possibly find out?
Yes. So I would ask you that question. What do you think, Adam?
I mean, my first thought when watching this episode was that there's something else going on here, and that I think Angela. I mean, I have to put a disclaimer. I am wearing the Goliath buff. I am friends with Angelina, so I am very biased, and I apologize in advance to anyone who says Adam is biased. Well, yes, I am biased, but I
nobody ever gets on you for stuff on the internet, though.
Never, yeah. Never, Rob. I am biased. However, I do know Angelina, and I have to imagine that she's capable of pulling off something like this, where you may throw a vote in order to say, "Hey, Natalie, I didn't vote for you," although it wasn't clear to Natalie whether Angelina voted, so maybe Angelina needed to say, "I didn't vote for you, can I have that jacket?"
Right.
And I don't know if that would have worked, maybe not.
So let me pull the curtain back a little bit. So Adam and I, earlier tonight, we're watching this on the West Coast, so normally we are doing these shows and we're watching it on the East Coast. So Survivor has already aired earlier in the night before we watched it here live together. So Adam and I earlier did get to watch the episode, and we were watching it together, and Adam jumped off the couch and said, "She wanted the jacket! She wanted the jacket! It was the jacket! That's what she did!"
I'm glad you're here to back me up
so,
on that, because I know,
yes,
obviously
you
now
were so ecstatic that instantly you said this was not that Angelina was blindsided.
Right.
This was that she wanted to take that wonderful dream coat of Natalie.
Yes, and after that. I started to wonder, was it all a ruse? Was the whole thing when she was saying, like, "Hey, Natalie, can you help me get Lyrsa's jacket?" a little subtle, like, prelude to saying, maybe if you go, I am cold, I'm really cold. I don't know if that was always the plan or if that was, you know what I'm saying? If that was part of it.
Yeah, interesting. Now, there's something in this season that there was a secret scene a couple of episodes ago, and I know how people don't really watch the secret scenes all the time because they're part of CBS All Access now, and so it's not super easy to find. But there was a secret scene that Jeremy went up to Natalie, and Jeremy said to Natalie, "Hey, Natalie, can I have your jacket?" And it seems like, I know that the storms, and we haven't even talked about the evacuation tonight, but it seems like that there's something going on where people are fighting for these jackets, like they're advantages in the game.
Well, I can say from experience, when you have a cyclone like that, when you have weather like that, it is literally freezing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more miserable than nighttime in Fiji when it's pouring rain on you and the wind is blowing up from the beach. It is cold, cold, cold. So any little piece of fabric, like Taylor was wearing Lucy's pants on Takali, our new Gen X tribe on our season, and he doesn't even fit into Lucy's pants, but it was so cold they just, I noticed on this episode they still don't have their bathing suits.
Mm-hmm.
So they have very little fabric out there, and whatever they can get their hands on is very valuable. It helps, keeps you sane.
Yeah. So what a great moment when then Angelina went to ask Natalie for the jacket on the way out, where Natalie Natalie.
Please.
And she no-sold it. She didn't even look back. She didn't even look back. Now, we know from the vote, that Angelina did vote for Lyrsa, but I think that for Natalie, potentially, what was going through her head was that, I don't know, I don't want to be made a fool out of here, where if Angelina did vote against me, she is a person that Jeff established. She wants to have the last word.
Correct.
She does not want to be made a fool out of. So I don't think that there was going to be a chance that she was going to, if there was any possibility that maybe...
If there was 1% chance that Angelina was in on it, she wasn't going
to
do that.
She wasn't going to, add insult to the injury.
She seems very prideful.
Yes. Yeah, and she was so much fun to watch.
Much fun.
I really enjoyed 5 episodes of Napalm Natalie. And I know Lyrsa is a big character too, but I was hoping we were going to squeeze a little bit more out of Napalm Natalie.
I mean, and we're getting it online too. Like, she's engaging. Natalie is engaging with the fans, posting some great Instagrams about Queen Natalie and all that stuff.
Queen Natalie.
If you're not following that, you need to check it out. She's been great on and off the screen, and hopefully she's great in your exit interview tomorrow as well.
I'm hoping that I'm just looking at the stage that we have two microphones here. I know we were supposed to have some more microphones. That Taryn, do you mind just going to check out with the booth if we have any more microphones flying in?
You've definitely already heard too much from the Millennials versus Generation X people, so I can just do this.
No, they're great. And so, Adam, tell us about that. So we just have the two? Okay. No worries. We'll make do. We've had worse. So that, let me then. Shireen is here, everyone.
Heyo.
Would you like to come up and talk to us about Queen Natalie?
Yes.
You have a jacket comment. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Give it up for Shireen, everybody. Shireen is a surprise guest. We did not know. Here, you're good. I can do this.
Hello, best friend.
Yeah, when was the last time that we saw you? I feel like that I don't think it was since we had the Know-It-Alls in Toronto.
Yeah, it's probably.
Yeah, so welcome back to the Know-It-Alls. Do you just come to the live shows now?
No, I love Nicole. I come to your house.
I know, but I don't think you've been there since the last show. All right, well, let's get back to Natalie. Napalm Natalie, Shireen.
Yeah, so I was going to say, as somebody who's gotten a jacket from somebody, Jen, my first season, and as somebody, my second season, who on my way out took a lot of Vetus's clothing with me to spite every motherfucker on that beach.
All right, easy. There are literally small children here. So.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, so Jen and I in World's Bar, and granted it was like a lot later in the season, but there's a thing where you definitely want somebody's jacket. Like, everyone's thinking about that, I think, every season. Jen and I had a deal where we were like, look, like, we're, one of us is going to get voted out. We're so cold. F-word cold. And so we actually like went through each other's stuff and picked, like, it was like shopping, but together, of like, if you get voted out, I want this, this, this. If I get voted out, you get this, this, this. And so like, it wasn't like a, Jen, leave me your jacket.
And you just hand it to him when you get voted out? Is that how you guys arrange that? Did you just hand the clothes over when you get voted out?
Yeah. So I think that I think that you could even see when Jen gets voted out, she just hands me stuff out of her bag, and like, and then you can see when I'm voted out, I'm decked out in no collar. I'm decked out in Jen gear. And I was gonna mention.
So this is a thing, though.
It is a thing, and so like, I respect that. I respect that move.
Yeah. Adam, in terms of voting people out because of their jackets, they have warm clothes. Actually, let's just go back a step. Steven was tweeting about this, that he was making fun of the people on Twitter, which isn't very nice, but he was going after the people on social media that were saying, well, why didn't Angelina bring a jacket with her? She knew she was going on Survivor. Why didn't they wear warm clothes? What's wrong with these idiots?
Well, as you guys well know, and anyone who's played Survivor, you don't really get 100% of the choice in mm-hmm. what you wear when you go out there. You submit some options, but it's got to look like you've been shipwrecked, right? You can't bring REI clothes or survival clothes. You have to wear something that matches your profession, your personality. And if that means that you're the good-looking girl that they want to be... that they want to be wearing a bikini out on the island, you may end up with less clothing than somebody else.
Yeah, so first off, just to establish that, I think most of the people that listen to the podcast and obviously the super intelligent people that come out to see us live all know that, for the most part, the survivors don't have a ton of control over what they get to wear, okay? So that is one thing. But now, if there's a person that has a lot of clothes, is that almost like are you a target if you have multiple layers?
It's not who has the advantage, it's what is the advantage.
Yeah, what is the advantage? The advantage was that I have long johns, and it's a disadvantage, and so now I need a long johns nullifier. That's a scissor, and that takes us back to Survivor Rock Paper Scissors, which is coming soon. In Survivor the Amazon, when poor Christy got blindsided by some of the people that I played with, which was really not nice.
Terrible.
And after she got blindsided out of the game, she had a raincoat that was, we sort of were like using it as like part of the tarp in the shelter. And I was like, hey, great, let's get that raincoat that she left behind. And production took her raincoat and gave it back to her at Ponderosa.
Really?
Yes.
That's not okay.
That's old school Survivor. That's BS.
Yes. So what is the rule? If a person has to will you the article of clothing?
If they're arrogant enough to leave their shit back at camp because they don't think they're getting voted out,
stop.
We get to keep
Please
it.
Please don't curse. Sorry. That's a Julie Chen. Yeah. So you feel like it's fair game if they leave it behind. Okay, so I should send a note to the producers from Survivor the Amazon about that.
Yeah, new school producers are not grabbing anything left at camp and bringing it somewhere else. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I think that she was particularly upset, and so maybe they were trying to make her feel better.
Well, how nice.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that in terms of then, I mean, I don't know how much strategy we want to talk about the jacket, but could Angelina have sold the, maybe she doesn't work in sales like Natalie, could she have sold the fake out of I wasn't in on it to Natalie better?
She is very persuasive. She gets discounts at restaurants. Mm-hmm. Gets out of tickets. I think that was a tough sell. I don't think Natalie was going to budge on that one.
It's just not worth it. I think it's not worth it to stick your neck out that much because Lyrsa's sitting right there next to you. Like, don't be like, I wasn't in on it. I totally voted for Lyrsa. Like, Lyrsa's still in the game. Like, at that point, I think she did strike that balance of like, let me have your jacket. And then when she wasn't getting it.
Well, okay. Do you think that Lyrsa knew that she was going to be getting a vote from Angelina, or do you think Angelina did that without Lyrsa's knowledge?
I don't think it matters.
Was it worth it? That jacket has been described, or a couple of the jackets in the episode were described as million-dollar jackets. Was it worth it at the cost of upsetting Lyrsa? And also giving the numbers going from a Goliath strong advantage of 3 to now 2 Davids and 2 Goliaths in that group?
I mean, I err on the side of, like, I never think it's worth it. I think, like, everything is so subtle in the game, and everybody's so emotional because of the lack of sleep, because of how cold everyone is, that, like, I don't think it's worth it. If it's clear that Angelina knew the votes, you know, were going in that direction. It's not worth that bad blood with Lyrsa, unless she was, like, super tight with Lyrsa. Even if she's super tight with Lyrsa, no, it sucks getting a vote from someone. Mm-hmm. And, like, especially that early in the game, like, when you're still figuring out who you can trust and who you're bonding with, I personally don't think it's worth it.
Adam, what about when you were in a similar situation after the tribe swap, when you were with Figgy and with Taylor, and there were 3 of you guys, and you were in the group that was in the majority, and then voted out somebody from that majority? Is that similar here?
Not really. I think this might actually be an easier decision here for Mike and Angelina because they're doing it together. Whereas I knew that if I were to vote out Figgy, who was in this showmance with Taylor, there was no way Taylor was going along with it. So, mm-hmm. as I said on the show, like, someone would be going home unhappy and someone would definitely be going back to camp unhappy, no matter which way I went. Whereas in this case, you've got four people, presumably, if everybody actually was on the same page, potentially going back to camp together, and she's still working with Mike.
And just to add to your point, it doesn't seem like Nick and Lyrsa are that close either, so like it's still possible that Lyrsa would be next out. Like, it doesn't seem like Angelina's next out.
Okay.
To play devil's advocate to myself, though, having four people who are together might actually be even more difficult than the situation where I was in, which is now, which was three against one, where you have a clear next vote. There may not be as clear of a next vote here in this situation.
Right. And I think that the Mike and Nick alliance seems like that maybe Mike is feeling like, okay, Nick is with us moving forward, and so that maybe we don't need somebody like Natalie who is creating problems in our group, and Nick is going to work with us, and we can vote out Lyrsa next time, and we'll be fine.
That certainly sounds plausible, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the other thing that, I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but like is like the impact of, because really I think it was like Angelina's move to make in terms of like, do you want to keep Natalie in the game? It's obvious that Angelina had a strong relationship with Natalie. The fact that Natalie went around asking for jackets like that on Angelina's behalf means that Angelina has a pretty strong hold on Natalie. I think on the flip side, you also need to talk about Natalie's impact on the game. And I think also people know that, like, I have a strong history of playing with fun-sucking people. And I think that that's, like, a really devastating. And honestly, I'm not even talking about Worlds Apart. I am talking about Cambodia. There are people on that tribe, person on that tribe. Like when you have one person who is, like, sucking all the fun out of a game, like, it's... It brings you in that situation to like an emotional breakdown.
All right, come back, Shireen. Come back. Okay.
But that's what I want to talk. Just weighing.
Yeah.
Angelina's move.
Tell me that when we got to see Hot Cop Dan find the idol, was there any similarities here between when Kelly Wentworth found an idol in a similar fashion?
I mean, it looked like Dan was reaching up a girl's skirt.
I don't know about that. All right, well, let's...
I think we have it on... Yeah. I think we have it that isn't what happened there. But
yeah. Okay. I want...
I mean, it just sucks that, like, a guy who's already, like, in power, who's, like, a Goliath, who is, you know, like, this, like, guy who's strong enough to resist half-off McDonald's. What a strong man. But just, like, this, like, tall, attractive Goliath law guy who already has an idol, is already in a majority on a tribe, then gets a second idol. I mean, like, and he's, like, not, like, he's boring, and he's, like, and, like, the whole intro scene with Kara, where he's, like, oh, my God, I have a dog named Kara. Like,
he does.
I don't.
Shireen, it's so nice to see you again. How you doing? You're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's traumatic.
It's traumatic. Okay. Feel better, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you for coming out. All right, let's bring up Tyson.
Let's hear it for Shireen.
Love you. Okay. Where is Tyson? Is he still in the bathroom? Okay. Didn't Tyson do a great job taking over the Survivor Instagram account? Here, watch these wires over here. There's Tyson walking across the stage coming out here. Tyson, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. I took the headband off because... my parents didn't pin my ears back as a baby, so I've just been slowly working that into my routine now.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tyson, nice to see you here in Reno this week.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Tyson, let's talk a little bit about... We haven't touched on the other tribes really too much. I'd love to get your take on what's going on with the mayor of Slamtown and Christian and Dan.
They've got Brochachos.
Yeah, they've got a new group called the Brochachos.
It's not bad, Brochachos. But if your focus is just to name the alliance the whole time, like every time somebody named an alliance for me, I was just like, oh, I don't want to be associated with a named alliance. Can we just be like the alliance?
Who would ever name an alliance? Like, I can't think of anybody.
probably a millennial.
Coach?
Oh, Coach.
Yeah, Coach.
Did you name an alliance?
No.
Oh, Coach will name alliances.
Coach.
But he never said the names to me. He always kept them secret from me. I didn't name that. Probably Jerv. Yeah. Why is everybody trying to out me for shit I didn't do?
Tyson is anti-named alliances, everybody, and don't try to say that he's for it.
You're burning those bridges so goddamn fast that you don't have time to name those alliances.
So, Tyson, what about this Christian? Have you been... so many people have just been so mesmerized by him this season.
I love Christian.
Yeah!
Yeah. He's like the really awesome version of Cochrane.
Impossible. That's redundant.
Is it? It is. Cochrane's very awesome redundant. Too, but this guy's like, imagine if Cochrane was twice as awesome.
Yeah.
Like, so, this guy's writing, what, algorithms for puzzles?
Sometimes.
Yes, slide puzzles.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a course in school.
But he was he's actually been super capable in these puzzle challenges where tonight we saw that the mayor of Slamtown had to tag out. And then in this bizarro tag team match, here comes Christian tagging in to completely kick ass.
Played right into the producer's hands.
Yes. Well, not as much as in the earlier reward challenge where it was a David versus a Goliath with a slingshot.
With a slingshot. Exactly.
And a David won.
Like that.
Those Davids, we all want them to win.
We all want them to win.
The underdogs. Cheering for the underdogs here.
Yeah. Now, if Adam and I are going to be over here.
Where should I be?
Well, do you mind sharing a microphone with Rob?
No, I'm not going to share a microphone. Yeah, with Rob?
Yeah, will you share a microphone with Rob?
Boston Rob from Florida?
Yes, yes, that one.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, all right. Is Rob Mariano in the house?
I'm going to trade chairs and give you the one with the stain on it.
Here he is, everybody. Give it up for Boston Rob Mariano.
Give me that.
All right. All right. So, Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about those Red Sox, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry about him.
What are you sorry about?
He just keeps talking about the Red Sox, and it's a Survivor thing tonight, and it's night
World
of Survivor.
The World Series, bro. The World Series. We're up 2-0.
Yeah, look at one nice in the crowd. Good. I'm glad we have you over here. What about Survivor, Rob?
Okay, let's get into it.
Yeah, all right. Well, Rob, what do you think about this season? Five episodes in, are you enjoying David versus Goliath?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I want to say something?
What's your favorite part?
Obviously the jacket stealing.
Yeah. Have you ever been a part of anything with these jackets in any of these seasons?
Yeah, I mean, the jackets are high commodities for sure. I think, I remember though, like, you would never give your jacket to anyone, you would only share it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you shared the jacket, you'd have to be in an alliance with that person. You'd never share your jacket with someone you weren't in an alliance with. So you had to also, kind of like sleeping next to people you watch and saw who shared whose jackets or other items of clothing.
Wait, now you always get the credit for, hey, watch who's sleeping next to each other.
Yeah.
That's how you know they're in alliance. Now you're telling me watch who's wearing whose jacket.
Not only the jacket, socks are a big commodity. And a lot of times people wear like wool socks when they go out there.
Yeah.
And
they insulate when wet.
I've definitely shared socks.
Wool socks insulate when wet. That's a... little nugget for all you wannabe Survivor players in the future. Take some wool out there with you.
You want to wear wet socks?
No, but wool insulates even when it's wet. So if it's raining on you, it'll still keep you warm even though it's soaking. Come on, guys.
Yeah, but in the past, I have shared socks, and you got to watch any item of clothing that people share with each other. You know, it could probably would signify an alliance.
Okay. Do you remember who you shared socks with, and was it with the people that you went to the end with?
Yeah, with Natalie you. And Ashley and Philip. Yeah.
You shared socks with Philip.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Did Philip share his socks with you?
No.
Would you have taken them if he did?
No.
Fair
his
enough.
His underwear?
No.
Definitely not his underwear. I didn't even
also, another thing, most players only get long sleeves on the bottom or long sleeves on the top, but not both when they send you out with wardrobe. That's why the wardrobe is such a hot commodity. Because if you have long sleeves on top, you're probably in shorts. Yeah. Tell them.
Is that right?
I think it's a crapshoot, too, because on All Stars, I remember I got just a tank top and a bathing suit, no underwear. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Like, literally, they gave us, you got what you got, and that was it. There was no way. A lot of times people say, oh, why didn't you bring this? It's like, yeah, if I had the choice, I would have, but you don't have that choice.
They let me choose whatever I wanted.
That's stay on the microphone.
Not
stay on the microphone.
Not true. Listen, if you guys don't know Tyson at this point, you got to put him on the 2% rule. 2% of what comes out of his mouth is true and correct.
And I only drink 2% milk.
Rob, did you enjoy watching Natalie this season?
Yeah, I thought she was hilarious. I mean, zero chance to win, but definitely especially entertaining.
Now. Especially now.
So do you think it is a mistake to vote somebody like a Natalie out of the game at this point in time when she's obviously not getting along with anybody? Is that a mistake to get rid of somebody like that?
Yes and no. I mean, at this point, it's still early enough where if she's rubbing people the wrong way, you know, they can look forward down the road. But something that was interesting that I thought that happened this season with Natalie was, you know, she, from a very early point in the game, pointed out, I'm the weakest link in this team. Why am I being voted out? Why am I being targeted? And that's a pretty good strategy, you know. I think for anybody that's older or maybe a little bit out of shape or doesn't have the, you know, youth and physical attributes to go through the entire game. What? I say, did you do something?
No.
Okay. It's a good strategy.
Yeah. Let's go to the reward that that group was dealing with. And so there was egg-laying hens, and they went to the orange tribe. We didn't really get to see them dealing with that in this episode. But then this purple tribe, they got, I think, was it 10 or 12 eggs from the hens. And there was a big question about what do you do with these eggs? Now, Rob, you hate eggs, right?
Hate them.
Yeah, but what is the right answer? Because I think a lot of people were probably watching the show tonight saying, well, what do you do with these eggs? You win 12 eggs on Survivor.
Don't count them before they hatch.
So do you what would you do?
I don't care what they do with the eggs because, like I said, I don't want to eat them. I don't like them.
Even on Survivor.
Yeah, he would not. He would vomit.
Really?
Yeah, if you can get like the smell of eggs underneath his nose somewhere, he'll dry heave. I know this. I don't know why I know
we
this.
We eat a lot of breakfast together when we come to these things.
Yes, we do. I think the play, obviously, is to sneak the eggs and eat them yourself.
That's the move?
Yes. Yeah, I'd swallow those things whole, dude.
So I've been able to do some research on this, okay? So that I think that hashtag Learso was right. Once you hard boil the eggs, you are on a countdown. And honestly, going back to my childhood, I think my parents left the Easter eggs. Hold on, Shireen is coming back, everybody.
I just want to say one thing about the eggs. So like so I'm in charge of a camp food at Burning Man. And I've done this for 5 years.
Tyson is too, right?
You just wanted to tell everybody you went to Burning Man, didn't you?
So I take like 50 eggs every year to Burning Man, and as long as
Burning
you keep that
Man.
Shit, it's the fucking. Sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry, Rob.
Yes.
Okay, I take 50 eggs for a camp to Burning Man every year in the desert in over 100 degree deserts.
To where?
In a desert.
Yeah, but what's the event called?
Look. And those eggs last over a week. And the second, and like, no, I'm like, I mean, obviously Lyris is right, but she's right. Like, the second you boil them, that's when they actually start becoming dangerous and need to.
And gray yolks are disgusting.
Also that.
Yeah, you don't want to.
I just wanted to let you know. Desert environment, raw eggs, totally fine. Thank you.
Wait, sorry. What was the event called again that you went to? Went to do that?
Desert.
The event. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. But back to the eggs. So that what the countdown clock starts once you start to hard boil the eggs, and you can leave the eggs raw more for longer periods of time. So unless they were going to eat all those eggs, you know, at that sitting,
listen. There's a simple solution to this. How many eggs were there?
they could just eat them all that day.
No. How many eggs were there? 12 eggs. How many people? Everybody gets their own eggs. Do what you want.
Oh,
the end.
Wow. Are you opening up the risk, though, that you have, hey, these are my eggs, and hey, what happened to my eggs?
Do you think you have the right to tell me what to do with my eggs? I mean, come on.
What would you do? You would give your eggs away?
I'd leverage them.
Look, if you do split them up and you're worried that somebody's going to steal your eggs, let them steal them, because what better way to have a reason to vote somebody out? If somebody steals your eggs, like, that's reason.
I'd steal those millennial eggs so fast you didn't know what hit them.
If you stole my eggs...
And it would be so obvious you wouldn't even think it was me.
All right, so let's go ahead. You guys want to hear from Coach? Yes, of course you do. Coach, you want to squeeze in here? All right, let's bring up Coach. We can make this work. All right, here comes Coach, everybody. Look at Coach. He is a man of so many looks. Last time he was wearing the kimono. Now, here he is. He looks like a million bucks. Coach, how are you?
Very well, thank you, sir.
Okay. So, Coach, what's been your reaction to the Davids versus Goliaths?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Can I grab this?
I mean, here's the thing, right? I sit up here with these guys. They know the strategy. I just watch the game with my heart. But it's a good season because it's authentic. You know, a lot of times, a lot of these robots in the last five seasons, they just go out there, they want the fame or the money or the this or that or the modeling career, whatever. And, you know, these people here, they're genuine. And that's what I like about this season.
Okay. Coach, you've had some great jackets on Survivor. Would you ever give any of your jackets to anybody?
Well, when you were asking, I was thinking about a season, my first season, Tyson was on, and there was a girl out there who was like 95 pounds. Her name was Debbie. And she came out there wearing like a zebra top or something. She had basically no clothes, just a blouse. And I had a nice suede jacket, okay? And so I'm from the South.
How much did it cost?
I don't know how much it cost, man. So anyways, a sweet jacket, black, and I was sleeping with it at night, and I was still freezing my ass off, man. It was cold at night there. It's like 120 during the day and then freezing at night. And so anyway, she said one time, because she was sleeping next to me, she was like, Coach, I'm freezing. Can I just have your jacket? And I grew up in the South. I'm very chivalrous. You know, and it went through my head, and I was like, sorry, I can't do it.
This is different. No, that's not how it happened. He was using his jacket as a pillow the time she asked for it. He wasn't wearing it. And she asked him, and he said, no, I need it as my pillow. That makes it worse, right? That makes it a lot worse. But I also respected it, because it was, so courageous.
She tried to vote me out, like... She tried to vote me out like 3 days later.
Yeah, but she couldn't stop you. You were a tank, bro.
Would you change what you did knowing that she then tried to vote you out?
No, because I still won. I mean,
did you?
I got farther than her.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, getting further than somebody could be a personal win, but it's not the win.
Yeah. All right. So I want to go back to the Orange Tribe, because we really haven't talked about them too much. And I thought there was some interesting stuff that was going on there after last week's vote, where Natalia ended up being the person going home, where Alec and Kara, they were together on the Goliath Tribe, but then Alec ended up blindsiding Kara, and we saw Kara working to throw Alec underneath the bus. Rob, is that the right move for Kara to be doing, to try to throw Alec under the bus, or should she be trying to rekindle what's going on with Alec from when they were on the Goliath Tribe?
Yeah, I mean, at that stage, you can't really play with each other anymore, so it's kind of like survival of the fittest. Although, if they were to team up, if she could trust him, then it's better to try to pull somebody over versus the other way around, versus trying to cut her throat.
Adam, I thought that was interesting where then we saw she went to Davey, and it seemed like that she made some inroads with Davey in terms of, hey, that's a good idea. Let's throw Alec under the bus. But then Elizabeth, who Kara seemed to have a better relationship with last week, said, hey, you know, I think I need Alec more. Alec talks about how he wants to work with the Davids, and so I think I need to get rid of Kara next.
Well, Kara said something that I think at the time, you know, sounded really good, like, oh, you know, Alec has sort of burned bridges with the Goliaths, but I think it unintentionally may have reminded Elizabeth, yeah, Alec burned bridges with the Goliaths. However, I'm not so sure that he has, because I noticed when the brochachos were talking, I believe that Dan said something about, and like, what's Alec's role going to be? So they're still actively thinking about Alec as at least part of that group of guys.
That's going to stick a group of guys together tighter than testosterone. You know, an alliance stuck together with testosterone as the glue is a solid foundation.
I think Davey, though, is just right. I don't know how to respond to that, so I'm just going to talk about Davey. Davey's awesome, by the way. He is so much fun to watch, and very, very fun. And he is just like reveling in it right now. You could just see when Kara came to him, he's just like, man, I got options now. I could go a couple different ways with this. And that's definitely not a place he saw himself, I think, a few days before that.
Coach, what do you think of the mayor of Slamtown?
Yeah. You know, I said this with Tyson before the show. I couldn't stand him. And then because he was so cool and so witty, I actually loved him more than I would have if my first impressions, this goes from psychology 101 that you take at the university, if you think somebody's going to be bad, but then it turns out they're good, you love them even more. So I thought that guy was going to be a total clown, right? Mayor of Slamtown, he looks really good, I wish I looked like him, and you know, you think he's going to be a
story of my life.
And he's like, and again, he's like really authentic, you know, he comes across genuine. So I actually dig him. He's got the looks and the charisma.
If you were to be in alliance with the mayor of Slamtown, what would be the name of that alliance?
Man, I can't. You can't.
Rob, what do you think the name would be?
It takes me days to think about.
Okay. Think about it. Can we come back to coach at the end? I feel like that has to be an alliance. If not right now, then in a future season of Survivor, maybe. How about that?
I'll channel it.
What about just the coaches?
The bros. You know, I feel like that, you know, the three of you, the guys, Rob and Tyson, the coach, you guys all played together. I feel like that there's probably a bunch of stories from your time together that people would love to hear. Tyson, is there anything that comes to mind? Do you have a good story when you are reunited with these guys from your time together?
Yeah, I remember when in Ponderosa, Coach had to stop and hug me, and we were trying to avoid each other the whole time. And I was so shocked by it that I bit my lip, like right before the game, and then I had this huge canker sore because I was already so nervous about playing. So then I go out there, and my face is all swollen from this canker sore that wouldn't go away because now I can't brush my teeth or clean my mouth. And yeah. And then we were out there, and Coach kept pulling me aside. But then it was like at night, so they'd turn the lights on your faces, and everybody see him and I talking over in the corner. I was like, Coach, stop talking to me right now, because Boston Rob's seeing this, and I don't want him to get jealous.
So, before you leave to go on Survivor, everybody's pretty hyper aware of everything that's going on. You travel as a group, you get on the airplane together, you go to location, then you spend like 3 or 4 days, you know, at location, going through press interviews and everything before the game starts. So on Heroes and Villains, you know, it's always obviously has been a bunch of people that have played the game together, And so everybody knew that Tyson and Coach had played on the same season before. So they were an obvious target to watch to see if they were going to be on the same team or not, if they were going to be friends this season, how their relationship was or not. And then here we are sitting at LAX, and we notice that Tyson and Coach have the exact same sneakers on. Like they went sneaker shopping together.
I sent the link to the shoes to him. Oh, actually, I bought the shoes for you, huh?
Yes.
Anyway, it was a dead giveaway. Everybody noticed it. Everybody saw it.
Wait, well, what?
But I still lured him into my alliance. Even still.
So it wasn't a coincidence. You bought the same shoes and said, "Coach, wear these," these are our secret best friend shoes.
They were different colors. They were just some running shoes that I liked, and they were different colors, so they were a little bit different.
But it was intentional.
Not to wear the same shoes out there. I just chose the same shoes because we both liked the shoes, right? It's not like I called him and was like, okay, so we're going to wear yellow tops and wear those shoes. Remember to wear the shoes. Don't forget the shoes.
You might not have called him, but it seemed like he did when you guys showed up at the airport sporting the same outfit.
How jealous were you?
A little.
Rob, before the game, man, I'm not... See, you're talking about gaming before the game. I'm clueless. Before the game, I'm writing down so many quotes from Martin Luther King and Nietzsche. I'm not paying attention to anybody else, man.
Is that true? Do you study up on quotes before you go on Survivor so you have a few?
Every time you ask me a question, I'm basically a borderline moron, okay? I'm not smart. So before the game, in order to look smart, I have to quote all these people. And so I'm literally on the airplane, and I can't just memorize it, so I'm writing the same damn quote 100 times so it gets in my brain.
That's amazing.
Like Bart Simpson.
Along those same lines, I tried reading the Old Testament because I thought those quotes would be funny, but I only got through like two verses and was like, I can't do this, dude. This is really boring.
I have another funny story.
Go for it. And then I want to have people line up to start asking some questions, okay?
Okay, so...
line up on the sides if you have questions for anybody, okay?
Again, this was like after Heroes and Villains, and... you know, before you study and you speculated on who's going to be out there and everything, and Tyson was out there, and I didn't know much about him except for what I saw on the TV the first time around. And, you know, he kind of had a little bit of an abrasive TV personality. And but I was trying to figure out something I could connect with him on, and I had recently read the Lance Armstrong autobiography, and I knew that Tyson was a bike rider. So one of the first things I say to him, you remember this?
Yeah, remember.
When I got on the island was, hey, man, I just read Lance Armstrong's book. And have you read it? And what do you think about it? And what did you say?
I said something about him being a cheat and an asshole.
This was before he came out as a cheat. Yeah. But he was like, yeah, dude, I hate that guy. I can't stand it. I didn't read the book. I read the preface, and that was it. And I was like, okay, true to form, he's a dick.
But the fact that he didn't like try to like BS you and act like that he liked him, but did that endear him to you?
Of course it does, because I can appreciate honesty in people that are themselves. And, you know, Tyson has a personality that's very dry, very witty, and I think it's probably why we became friends. Yeah.
Aww. Aww. What do you think of that, Coach? Yeah.
Best friends.
Yeah, you can tell. They're besties, man. There's no breaking these guys now.
Just two best friends and Coach. Oh, just two best friends and Coach. Just kidding, Coach.
Assign a coach over
coach,
here, right?
I'm just kidding.
Assign a coach. Okay.
Coach, you know I love you. We love you.
All right,
we're
I know
just
you guys have, must have questions. If you want to line up over here, and we'll try to get to some of your questions. We probably got about like 10, 15 minutes left to go. Only two microphones here, so we're going to make this work. Okay. All right. All right, come on over here, Holly. Okay. See if we can get you in the shot. Okay. All right. We'll do our best. Okay.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Holly from Augusta, Georgia.
Hi, Holly.
Is it ever okay to take someone's stuff while they're still in the game? And do you think that Nick did the right thing by standing up against that?
Okay.
I think it is okay if you can
not get caught
or get away with it. Or I think if you can just play the sympathy card and get that stuff. Like Laura Moretti, the night we voted her out, she asked for my pants as insurance for her not getting voted out. Mm-hmm. So I gave her my pants and was like, okay, you can have these. Bye. And then I was stuck with just underwear and swimming suit, but to me it was worth $1 million.
Yeah. So and Sierra gets all the credit for voting out her mom, but you voted out your pants, and I don't think that anybody.
And that was even more. And then
now you're the game changer.
Yeah. Why wasn't I on Game Changers? Just kidding. And then I had to wear Colton's sweater as my pants. And the one night Caleb decided to take them away from me and put them in his bag was the night we voted Caleb out. And I was too afraid to steal them from his bag, mm-hmm. knowing he'd know something was awry. Okay. So I still haven't gotten that sweater pants back yet.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Holly. Great question. All right.
I had a hole in the bottom, which was perfect.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do. Okay, all right.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. I'm Sarah from San Francisco.
Yes, and Sarah, should we say happy birthday to your mom, Francine?
She came all the way from Los Angeles.
Happy birthday! We can't sing the song. We have to pay the royalties.
No. Okay. So my question is for everyone. I love you guys all so much, and I'm just wondering, if you were in Slamtown, what position would you want to have?
Coach, have you thought about what office you would run for in Slamtown?
El Presidente.
The president of Slamtown. You'd outrank the mayor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If I think I have some type of control, then I can maybe get a little bit farther, become the real coach out there.
Okay. Adam?
I'd like to be ambassador, I think Slamtown is not a place that you want to go. Like, you only go there if you get slammed. So I'd like to be the one guy that can leave Slamtown.
Not the ambassador of abs?
I mean, I'd like that. That's probably more reserved for my roommate Cole, but that would be cool, I guess.
What's the job where, like, nobody notices you're not at the office ever and you're actually at home doing whatever you want?
You want some sort of, like, no-show job.
Yeah, like work from home type of thing where you just kind of are like, hey, I kind of just created my own hours. I was 40 hours a week probably.
Okay.
What's that?
Lance
Armstrong.
Yeah.
I don't know what Slamtown is.
All right. Yeah. How are you?
Good.
What's your name?
Sam.
Sam. Okay. Sam, what do you got?
So last week we saw that Alec voted with the Davids, and this week we saw Mike vote with the Davids. So do you think that they might form a bond over that with maybe Angelina and join up with some of the Davids?
Okay, so we saw Alec vote with the Davids, Mike vote with the Davids. Could they bond over working with the Davids, Adam?
Well, I do think it changes what happens at that Green Tribe, because now the Green Tribe has seen both of the other tribes lose their Goliath majority. And I feel like this happened in our season as well, where once that happens, you've sort of, if those Goliaths do stick together, they're going to be worried when they go to the merge that none of the Davids are going to want to work with them. And at this point, you're going to need a cross-tribal alliance in order to have success after the merge. So yes, I do think now you're going to see that David versus Goliath is done, and you're going to have to start working across the aisle.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sam. All right. Come on up. Let's go lightning round here. Okay.
Hi, Rick from Sacramento. First of all, happy birthday to you.
Rick, thank you. Thank
Rob
you.
Is 40 years old, guys.
Yes.
The big 4-0.
Yes.
I'm only 39.
Now that we're talking, this is for everybody, now that we're talking about the jacket being the sort of the metaphor for comfort now, and Shireen talked about how your mind just goes crazy out there. Was there ever a moment that any of you had where you felt you made a really bad decision because you just needed comfort, or you just needed something to make you feel better?
Yeah, Tyson can take this one.
Well, I switched votes on Heroes Villains, but that wasn't a comfort thing. But on my first season, the day I got voted out, I stopped playing because I felt comfortable and I was so tired and sick of playing the game, just like being on all the time. So I went and just napped in the river pretty much the whole day, and then showed up to the vote and was like, nah, they got me. So it does happen. It happens all the time. And there is a part of you that's just like, at some point, the consolation prize is getting out of there and getting food.
Rob, was that that time that you told me to leave the long pants that I had at Tribal Council before we went that one time also?
No, no, that was that... actually the correct move at the time. My apologies.
All right, what's your name?
I'm Loam.
Loam. Okay, Loam. What's going on? Come in here so people can see you at home. Okay. All right, didn't mean to rhyme.
Yeah, it's all right. So we got a taste of it last episode with the conversation between Elizabeth and Kara, where they bonded a little over religion. With a season called David versus Goliath, I thought there'd be more religion this season. What determines whether a tribe or a group has spirituality or religion be a part of the game?
Coach?
I can field it.
Field it.
Tyson?
You just have to go with whatever the masses are doing. Like, Tina wanted to, like, do prayer every day, so you just kind of got to stand there and do it and know that everybody is going to see you on TV doing that, which is fine, but then you receive your earthly reward and not the rewards from heaven as you're proclaiming your faith in God to the masses. That's my take. I was embarrassed to do it, but I had to do it. Not that I am a man of no faith, that's neither here nor there, but do that in private, please.
He's going to hell.
Religion actually played a pretty significant role in our season, even though it didn't make the air. It just wasn't on the show. But we pray, like the millennial tribe prayed before challenges. It was a very religious tribe. But then the two Jews got to the end. So, yeah.
Okay. Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
What's your name?
Yeah. Okay. I have a question for Adam. So, every post-swap tribal, someone from the majority has voted out someone else from the majority. This happened every post-swap tribal from your season. Is there a general benefit, you think, to that, or is it always case-to-case?
Always case-to-case.
Casey Kasem, as we said?
Yeah. Always case-to-case. No, I think it totally depends on who you're with and what the makeup of the tribe is and what's happened before you. Like I said, like if everybody else has voted out somebody from their own, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, maybe I need some people from the other side as well. But if you really trust the people that you're with, you don't want to sacrifice them as well. So it's all about, you know, who you trust the most and who has the relationships that will help you build a larger than half majority at the merge. So sorry if that's not a perfect answer, but yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Get over here. Stefan.
Nice shirt, Rob.
Thank you.
All I want to say is that Angelina was freaking baller tonight. That's it.
Did anybody like Angelina tonight? Good. Okay.
Okay, that's it? That's all I wanted to say?
That was it. Okay, good. That was quick.
Not a question, bro.
Okay. How's it going? What's your name?
Mike.
Mike. Come on over here, Mike. All right.
Hello, sir. I'm always just curious about when, you know, Jeff comes in and tells you, hey, here's the new tribe and who got voted out. Does that open up gameplay when you see that someone from the majority tribe was voted out? Does it kind of make you tighter because, oh, is that someone from my old tribe? What does that feel like when you first see that, you know, the person that was voted out, and how does that affect your game?
Anybody want to field this?
Yeah, I think it depends. It depends who actually got voted out, if they're, you know, within your game plans or not. A lot of times it's expected, and sometimes it's not. You're obviously bummed if one of your alliance mates gets booted off, but in the beginning, I don't think it really matters, right?
I mean, I don't know.
But
no, I think it does affect your gameplay if they're on a tribe that you're on and they're in your inner circle and then they get voted out, or you see the tides are shifting for the Davids on a certain tribe and then another tribe as a David, that gives you hope on the last tribe that still doesn't have the majority. And so I think that then gives everybody the hope to do the switch and maybe start playing a little harder. So I think it gives the underdogs hope when they see some cracks in the majority.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Shyla. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm thinking about auditioning for Survivor.
Do it.
I'm gonna. And the thing I wanted to ask you, and I might be screwing myself right now, but I'm a living kidney donor. So I donated a kidney. Would you hide that from everybody, or how would you handle that when you get...
In casting, you should definitely ride that train, but on the season, you should hide any good deed you've ever done in your life because you don't want them to think you're too good of a person so that everyone's just going to give you the millie.
What was Eliza's first season with Amy and Leah?
Vanuatu.
Leah was a kidney donor, and she put that in her audition video. She's like, I donated my kidney to my dad.
Who?
But did she use it on the show?
Okay.
There you go.
The kidney? No, I don't think so. Okay, all right, come on.
Well, she probably used the one.
Last couple questions. Okay. Yes, how are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, thank you. Okay.
All right, so Shireen included, if you could put yourself on a season, which would it be and who would you switch with?
Shireen included. We put ourselves on this season?
Put yourself on any season.
Redemption Island, I'd switch with Boston Rob.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You'd win, right?
Easy.
Yeah. Adam?
I would probably say Redemption Island, Boston Rob. But besides that, probably Cagayan and switch with Spencer, because that was the first time I saw somebody on the show where I was like, that could be me, and I watched it, and I was like saying the same things that he was saying on the show. So I was dreaming about that in that moment for sure. Yeah. Nothing against Spencer. I would love to play with him as well.
I'd probably say Africa. I'd switch with Lex because the rewards were so badass and like tribal, indigenous. So I like that. It's cool.
You would finish third. Yeah.
That's one
I'm
worse.
For that. I'm destined for
I thought you were going to say I'd go back and do me again, but just a little bit different.
Okay. All right. Shireen, did you want to say? Did you have one?
Season one, I'd switch with Dickie Hatch, right?
Right?
Yeah, that's the best one.
Oh.
Okay.
I would do Pearl Islands. And I know I wouldn't rob you of Sandra. No. I would switch in for Krista to be Sandra's like number one ally and cast a winning fucking vote. I'm so sorry, Rob!
Okay.
To cast a winning vote for Sandra.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Steve from San Francisco. This question's from my wife, Jane, who couldn't be here tonight, unfortunately. Okay. What is the most profound changes to the game that have happened since your first time on Survivor? And have they been good or bad?
Definitely, for me, idols. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were no idols in the beginning. And now it's like a major integral part of the game.
Adam, what about you? What's been the most profound change to the game since you've played?
Has it changed that much? I don't know that it's been that long. Go with these guys. It's
Coach, anything ring a bell?
Well, I mean, the last time I played, I took an alliance of three on day one all the way to the end, and that doesn't seem like that happens anymore. Mm-hmm. Loyalty is quack.
That is true. And also, they mix it up so much now. That you really have to be on your toes and be in tight enough with everybody that you can shift when the tides turn.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we only have time for maybe one or two more, okay? Yeah. All right, real quick.
Hi, I'm Anna, Angelina's mom.
Okay, all right.
He actually had my question already asked, but I'd like to ask, in watching the seasons, 18 years here, who has been your favorite person outside of your wife, Boston Rob, and outside of my daughter, Angelina? Who has been one of those players that you admired and said, wow, if it can't be me, I'm glad it's them? Or is there someone that sticks out?
Okay.
Outside of the wonderful people that are here.
Okay.
Tyson.
Tyson. Coach will always love Tyson.
The truth is Rob Cesternino is definitely one of those people.
You're pandering.
Such
you're
a brown nose answer, right?
Yeah. These
millennials and their brown nosing makes me sick.
There's a reason I got straight A's, Tyson. No, I do think like from the very beginning, like I was talking about with Spencer, like you showed me that you don't have to, no offense, be the biggest or the strongest guy out there in order to be successful in the game of Survivor, and I think you.
But you can't be the biggest and the strongest.
Wait, I'm not.
It's
big
okay to
or
be the biggest
strong?
And the strongest.
Now you tell me. Thank you, Adam. Thank you. All right.
Any more answers on that one?
Well, okay. What you have a real answer?
I like the real like quirky characters. They're always my favorite. I loved Coach on all of his seasons. I love Philip. I loved. the astronaut lady, what's her name? The gymnast, astronaut, engineer.
Debbie.
Debbie. I love Natalie this season. It's just like you get all those characters on one tribe in one season by themselves, and oh my God. That's what my heaven will be if there is a God and he's up there listening to me right now trying to design my forever post existence. Okay. I want it to be a TV with those guys on it.
Okay.
And the karaoke contest needs to start. So okay. Let's go.
All right. Last question. It's got to be a short one. Okay.
So we all know that the elements of Survivor are very difficult. What's been the hardest element that you did not expect to overcome for everybody?
What's the hardest element?
Sleep deprivation. Okay. Is
all right, this lady is giving me dirty looks that I said it was the last question. Come here.
There it is. Well, sir. Anyway, my question to Survivor contestants is: as reality shows go, right now we have Grocery Store Joe, who made it to Dancing with the Stars on one episode. Is it hard being that you guys don't get a ton of sponsorship? If you don't win, you really don't get a lot of things. What makes it worthwhile going on and actually competing for this title?
Go for the adventure.
Okay.
Or win the money. I think we go to win the money. Do you want a 1 in 20 shot of winning $1 million?
So you're saying that everybody goes on The Bachelor and everybody becomes successful on The Bachelor? Yeah. Coach, should we have gone on The Bachelor?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Going on the show will not make you famous unless you're like one of these four guys, probably. It's not going to do that for you. I literally got recognized for the first time at an airport on my way here, even while the show was airing. But what it will give you is the adventure of a lifetime, and Survivor is the greatest game ever invented, and I would recommend it to anybody.
And you're right, it's not fair. Survivors should get more. It's messed up. This was messed up. Okay. The system is broken. No. Okay. Thank you guys so much for coming out to see us. It's such a thrill to get to do this. We're very lucky that you guys come out and see us. So we've got karaoke coming here in Jesse. How many minutes?
Check. There we go. Karaoke's going to start around like 10:30, 10:45.
Okay. So they need to break down this room so we can do karaoke here. So any notes for the people here, Jesse?
Yes. If you brought a drink, please pick it up. We don't have a cleaning crew coming in. We just have guys who are going to stack our chairs, move them out. So please grab anything you brought in. Please step out, even downstairs. Okay.
Please watch my camera also before everybody is leaving, because we're still live. We're still going. I did not end this podcast, okay? All right. So Adam Klein, thank you so much for co-hosting with me.
Thank you for having me. And if anyone's still here on Friday, we're going to be playing, so these survivors are going to be playing a charity free roll if you're still in Reno or want to watch it online on the stream.
How do people watch it online?
RunItUpReno.com, I think.
RunItUp.TV.
RunItUp.TV and
there you go.
Stream on there, right?
That is, that's correct. And tomorrow night, we're going to have open mic with Tyson and Joe Stapleton from PokerStars.TV and everything.
Now I'm just talking to the people at home because nobody here is still listening to me. Thank you guys so much for watching us. Thank you. It's been such a pleasure to get to come to you live. Didn't Tyson do a great job on the Survivor Instagram? Yeah. Tyson, Taryn, give us a little flavor of what's going on here. Can we? We had a great crowd. People are wandering around, part of Run It Up Reno. They were in an Edge nightclub, beautiful place. Come on out and see us if you're in Reno. This was completely free, part of Run It Up Reno. So we had a great time. Hopefully you guys were able to enjoy all of this. I've got Natalie coming up tomorrow morning. T-Bird as well. Bradley on the voicemails. And then the Week 5 Wiggle Room. So it'll be a great week. Thank you guys so much for watching all of this. It is a great treat. Thank you to all of our guests tonight. Shireen, Boston Rob, Tyson Coach, Adam Klein. Take care, everybody. And thank you so much to Scott St. Pierre putting together the podcast, and Taryn Armstrong filming behind the scenes, everybody. Taryn, you have anything to say? My jacket. Thank you. Take care, everybody. Bye.